Hello, everyone. My name is Fernando, and I am your host of Sports Time HQ. Today, I am joined again by Dynasty Dorks. That's his Twitter handle, and he also goes by Dave. How you doing today, Dave?
Doing well. We got football on Tuesday.
I know. Shocking we won't get the Tuesday game into this podcast, but yeah, Buffalo and Tennessee. We're going to start with some week five recaps. Alex Smith, his return, shocked the world. 694 days since his last snap was taken. Ron Rivera has named Kyle Allen as the week six starter due to Alex Smith's struggles. He went 9 for 17, 37 yards with one rushing attempt of 1 yard. I think if Kyle Allen struggles next week, I think they're going to put Alex Smith in. And I think Alex Smith is hopefully, I'm hopeful that he's going to be a fantasy starter soon. Maybe towards the end of the season if he does start, but he definitely needs some time to recoup for fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised to see him play. I was nervous watching him play. I'm sure everyone was nervous. His wife was super nervous in the stands. But incredible story. I definitely think that if you could pick a sweetheart team for the league right now between Ron Rivera and his cancer treatments and Alex Smith and his recovery, there's not anyone that can really – it's really hard to cheer against the Washington football team right now. Even with all the bad stuff that happened this offseason with the name change and with the allegations, I think if they got Daniel Snyder out of there, they would get a lot more fans. But I think everyone's just really cheering for Alex Smith to do well if he does come back. I kind of feel bad for Kyle Allen because he's a good guy and everything, but he's there. And I really think Dwayne Haskins is on his way out of town. I know they said he was sick. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but he was demoted very quickly. I think we're going to find out very soon about, I know all summer they said he had issues. He wasn't in the gym enough. He wasn't in the classroom enough. He wasn't watching the tape. They thought he was dyslexic last year. They had him tested because he wasn't picking up the playbook. He just does not seem like he is a very motivated quarterback that takes it as seriously as he needs to do to be a professional quarterback in the NFL. And obviously, you know, being benched before week five tells you a lot you need to know about how they feel about Dwayne Haskins. Moving him to third on the depth chart, that tells you a lot you need to know. And I could see him moved on to another team in 3 weeks. So the deadline is 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, he went from first string all the way down to third string. I mean, Ron Rivera did show that he really likes Kyle Allen. So it's a no-brainer that Kyle Allen does start next week. As for Dwayne Haskins getting traded, I did send out a tweet and I talked about some predictions on teams that I think Dwayne Haskins can go to. I think my number one team, I'd say, is the New Orleans Saints. I feel like with Drew Brees leaving soon, I think if Dwayne Haskins gets traded there for a pretty cheap price, I think the Saints could do something with him and make him into a great starter after Drew Brees leaves.
Yeah, I'll go with the Steelers. They've been talking about getting a backup there for a little while. Mike Tomlin, I mean, he should get a gold star for how he handled I don't know how he kept Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell under wraps for so long, but they've gone their ways and their real colors have shown. They really have no depth there behind Ben Roethlisberger, and they have no, you know, potential replacement. So taking a cheap, low-risk, high-reward shot on Dwayne Haskins, I think, would be very smart. They were very much in line for Jameis Winston. They actually offered him more money than the Saints, but he wanted to stay in the South and he wanted to go behind Drew Brees. But yeah, I could definitely see Pittsburgh being a spot.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I think he will go to, he will be a backup. And I think the best bet is he's probably going to go to a veteran player as quarterback to learn from them and hopefully be a better quarterback than he was. There was news that came out just before this podcast saying that Le'Veon Bell is, in fact, in talks of getting traded. He is roughly $6 million guaranteed remaining in his salary this year. And like Dave said, with 3 weeks away until the deadline, I mean, it seems like Le'Veon Bell, he hasn't been himself. He landed on IR, and he didn't do so well this week. I can definitely see the Jets trying to trade him away. I mean, do you have any idea on what kind of team would take him, Dave?
Honestly, I think there's a lot of people that are saying, yeah, I'm sure you would like to try to trade him, but I don't see it happening. The money is definitely an issue. It's not that significant of an issue. I can look that up real quick to see what the money was. SpotTrack had put out a post, a tweet just a little while ago. But, I mean, there's just not a lot of teams that are in the market for a veteran running back right now. You know, so the remaining $2.5 million of Le'Veon Bell's 4.5 roster bonus for 2020 is set to be paid out on Thursday. Bell has 2 years, $24.5 million current on his current deal. It's 24.5 remaining on his current deal, but none of this is guaranteed. If he's traded this week, the Jets take on dead cap hits for 2020 of $6.6 million, 2021 of $4 million. So this week, on Thursday, that goes in. So it's a lot to go in pretty quickly. I don't know who would be the, you know, where the spot would be. I really don't, because there's just, there's the carousel's filled up and there's not really, you know, obviously you've seen Devonta Freeman going, you know, with the Giants, but teams that are 0-4 like the Giants are not going to be making moves for Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, 0-5. So teams that are 1-4, 0-5, that are not trending in the right direction, they're not going to move for Le'Veon Bell. So if you look at the contenders, they've all either drafted a new running back recently or they're good.
Yeah. I mean, I just went through all the teams list. And I mean, I don't really see, like, I don't think Le'Veon Bell has a spot to go. Like, he doesn't have a home. And if he does get a home, I don't see him as a starter other than the Jets. I mean, I don't think the Jets should trade him only because of the cap hits that they're going to get and dead cap they're going to get. But, I mean, I don't know. I think Bell, I mean, imagine Bill, Le'Veon Bell reunites with Pittsburgh. That'd be crazy. I don't see that happening, though.
No, I don't see that happening. I would have to look at it pretty deep, but I just don't. There's already a lot of teams that either don't want the money or can't afford it, and then there's a lot of teams that they already have somebody in place. Yep. It would take a significant injury going down to a contender. You know, if Chris Carson goes down, does Seattle go and make the move? I could see that maybe.
I mean, Dalvin Cook went down,
Do the Patriots just say, you know what, screw it and go get Le'Veon Bell? I don't know. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But going on to Dak Prescott's injury, I mean, it was definitely a devastating ankle injury. I don't know. I'm sure you saw it, Dave. He had to be rushed to the hospital. He's now out 4 to 6 months after having surgery. Andy Dalton is officially the starter there. And do you think Andy Dalton will lead them to the playoffs this year with that devastating NFC East racket?
Yes. I think the only one that can compete with them is the Eagles. The Eagles have been pretty bad, but they've also been very competitive. And that's not what we're seeing with the Giants and the Washington football team. Is everyone still in it? Even the 0-5 Giants are in the thick of it in that division. But that's not saying much. Andy Dalton's a very competent quarterback. I think, you know, I think what we're going to see is, you know, Daniel Jeremiah refers to it as, are you a truck or are you a trailer? And good quarterbacks are trucks. Patrick Mahomes could take a really terrible team and make it better. But some, like Andy Dalton's always been a trailer. He's needed other players around him to pull him along. So is that Cowboys roster with that banged up offensive line good enough? I don't know. The defense is pretty bad. So can they make the playoffs? Yes. Will they go far in the playoffs? No.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the offensive line is very bad, but I mean, they do have all the talent they have, and the fact that they're 2-3, I mean, they are leading the division, but still having a losing record, being the top of your division, I don't know. I think everyone's still in it. Who knows? Maybe the football team somehow sneaks in. I mean, that'd be definitely a crazy, shocking story. Maybe Alex Smith leads the way to the playoffs. That'd be crazy. He's already comeback player of the year, I think. And I mean, if he brought him to the playoffs, it'd be just amazing of a story. And then as for the Giants, I mean, the Giants are just, they're just the Giants. I mean, sorry, Dave, but I mean, those Giants, they need a lot of work. Daniel Jones has not like been, I don't know, he had a little bit of hype coming into this season. I thought he'd be not that bad, but it hasn't been their season.
It hasn't. I think that they do beat the Washington football team this weekend. Their defense is much better than people think. If you watch the games, you see. You saw James Bradbury shut down Amari Cooper this weekend. The defense caused the turnover and put points on the board. The offense just hasn't been doing it. The offense was good this week against this is the first time they've actually had a plus matchup. They've had terrible matchups going against the 49ers, the Bears, and the Steelers. But this was the first plus matchup, and they actually looked good. It wasn't a Daniel Jones touchdown. Like I said, a touchdown to Ingram got pulled off the board, and then he threw a two-point conversion to the left tackle. But they just ran the ball. Devonta Freeman actually looked good. But I do think the Giants, they were very competitive against the Rams and against the Cowboys, will be okay. And they'll beat Washington. I don't think they'll beat many other teams. But yeah, I think the defense is better than advertised. They don't have a lot of flashy names on there, but James Bradbury, Blake Martinez, they've been very solid additions. And then the defensive line has been pretty good against the run. When you look at the Giants, you say, oh, I want to target this matchup. It really hasn't been as good for fantasy as people think. I know the 49ers game was pretty bad, but you know, Robert Woods did not have a good game against us. Pretty much everybody except for Cooper Kupp, and Cooper Kupp had one big play. But last week, CeeDee Lamb really did. He had a good game, and Dak Prescott, he was on pace to have a very good. He was on pace to have a good game.
He was on pace to have an amazing season. I think definitely better than his rookie season, possibly. I mean, he was the number one quarterback in fantasy.
Oh, his numbers were like, he was on pace for like a million yards. He was 450. No one ever has done for 450 three times in a row. And he did it, and might have been on pace to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you think, I know Dak had a lot of talk about him sitting out this season and not getting his contract. He did sign his franchise tag. Do you think he does stay in Dallas?
Yeah. I almost want to say that Jerry Jones is going to be pressured into doing it. You saw this weekend why players hold out. You want to get that money before this happens. And I feel bad for Dak. I mean, no one wants to see anyone hurt. I don't care what team you are. I'm not going to cheer for any injury. Yes, he's got damn well paid this. He's lucky he signed that franchise tag for that 30-something million dollars, because it's all fully guaranteed, and he got paid. So he's set. If he doesn't play another down of football, he's set. But the team needs Dak Prescott, and finding a quarterback is not an easy thing to do. Nope. So if you find one, you're going to keep him unless something comes back horrific with the medical. Then he'll be good to go. And if Alex Smith is playing after what he went through, I'm pretty confident Dak's going to be fine. It happened early enough in the season that it shouldn't affect his availability for next offseason. I think they said 4 to 6 month recovery. So he should be fine. And I think he'll get paid and they'll work it all out.
Yeah. And earlier today, Jerry Jones did say that his injury didn't change the play on the franchise commitment to him. So I do see him staying. I mean, I don't know. Will he get the same money before the pre-injury to post-injury? I don't know. I don't think he will.
I don't know. The way NFL contracts kind of work out, it's not like the NBA where everybody gets a max deal. But you typically just get paid more than the next guy. And, you know, when Eli Manning got paid and he got paid more than Matt Ryan and more than this other guy, they're like, what the hell? Eli Manning's wanting to be the highest. No, it's just how it works. The next guy gets paid more than the last guy. It's just they set the market and they keep going up. And then guy three rows down says, hey, what about me? Then he goes and renegotiates and gets more money, and it's just how it works. He'll get paid. I don't think he'll get Patrick Mahomes money.
No.
I think he gets Deshaun Watson money, and that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Moving on to poor Dak Prescott's injury. I know prayers are all to him and his family and everything, but who do you think is the heart? What division is the hardest division right now, do you think, this season?
That's tough. Honestly, the AFC North with the 4-1 Browns is a really tough division. The Steelers are a very good team. They're a complete football team, offense and defense. The Browns look really good, and they're slightly underrated. And then you have the Ravens. I mean, it's a good division. Cincinnati's been competitive. They're not really going to do anything. But that's definitely one of the top ones for me. And the AFC West, I think people were sleeping on the Raiders. You saw the Raiders beat the Chiefs this weekend. You saw the Chargers go toe-to-toe with the Saints last night. That, from top to bottom, is a complete division. You got Denver, which we haven't seen in a little while, but Denver's there. I don't know if there's any division that has 4 good football teams, but there's definitely a few that have some really solid threes.
Yeah, I remember about the Raiders. I mean, I was working on Sunday, and I saw someone wearing a Raiders shirt, and I said, do you think the Raiders are going to win against the Chiefs? And they said, against the Chiefs? I don't think so. It's the Chiefs. And I said, yeah, but it's the division. Divisions are always hard to face. Division versus division, always hard. And like you said, Raiders pulled out an upset against the Chiefs. So AFC West, I do think, is a tough division. Justin Herbert's been getting these tough losses. I mean, he's played against 3 Super Bowl MVPs in the last 4 weeks. And the fact that he stayed close with every single game, I mean, he's bound for success, but his team just hasn't pulled off the wins that were much needed, especially last night. Last night, they had a nice field goal attempt to take the lead, win the game, and then they sent him to overtime with a missed field goal hitting the post. But as for me, for the hardest division, I might go with I did have AFC North as mine, but I'm going to say the NFC South. New Orleans are 3-2, Tampa's 3-2, Carolina's 3-2, and then you got Atlanta sitting at 0-5. And I mean, I don't see Atlanta coming back and somehow winning the division or something like that. But the fact that New Orleans, Tampa, and Carolina are all 3-2, that division's wide open for them. And the fact that Carolina's 3-2 just shocks me, especially with Christian McCaffrey out. I don't think many people really thought Carolina would be doing this well. I mean, I didn't think that they would be doing this well. I knew they would do good, but not 3-2 wise and still keeping up with the division. New Orleans I don't think New Orleans should be on top of the division right now with them. Should have lost last night. And then as for Tampa just has a lot of struggles right now with injuries on the offense, and the chemistry is still trying to recuperate with Tom Brady, but the injuries are just not helping them.
Yeah, my toughest division in the NFC is the NFC West, with the Rams, the 49ers, the Cardinals, and they might be they're probably the most complete division, because if you say the worst team in there is the Cardinals, they're pretty damn good. But all there's going to be a good team that's not going to make the playoffs, and unfortunately, someone from the NFC East has to get in. So it's going to be unfortunate. But those teams are going to beat each other up, and they may not have the 12, 13 wins because they're just going to be, you know, fighting and clawing at each other because, you know, Seattle and San Francisco is always a tough game. You know, Rams and Seattle is always a tough game, so it's going to be interesting.
I mean, 49ers are definitely struggling, though. They just got blown out by the Miami Dolphins. I mean, that was shocking.
Yeah, they've looked good until last week, and then they made the QB change. So they might be heading the other direction, but again, they're the NFC champs. So we'll see if they get it right, and then we'll go from there.
Oh. Well, moving on to our waiver wires. Less than 70% owned ESPN leagues. I'm going to start out right now with my boy Justin Herbert. He's only 35.6% owned. Last 4 weeks, 22.24, 14.7, 23, and last week he scored 27.36 points. In the last four games, nine touchdowns and three interceptions, throwing for over 1,100 yards, almost 1,200 yards. He is going into the bye week this week, but his next matchups are Jacksonville, Denver, Raiders, Miami, and the Jets. So I'd definitely be snagging him up. And I think he's going to be a weekly starter if he's keep putting up the numbers that he's putting up.
Yeah, someone that's just lost Dak Prescott or is looking for something, it's going to be hard to go after Herbert because he has the bye week. A reminder, the four teams on a bye this week are the Raiders, the Saints, the Chargers, and the Seahawks. But if you can go and if you have the roster space to put Herbert on there, I think that is it's definitely worth your time. He's can air it out. He's got weapons. He even produced without Keenan Allen for most of the night. And he can run the ball. So he's a gunslinger. So he was throwing the ball a couple times, made me nervous. But he's someone that can definitely put up big points. I'm going to go with two running backs. Chase Edmonds and Alexander Mattison. So I'm sure they're on your list. And if you need more, I wrote down plenty. Chase Edmonds looks like the better back in Arizona.
Yeah, he does.
Drake saved his week with a touchdown, but if you have Drake, sell him now. My last week was buy low, if you could. I put an offer out there, and the guy really wanted me to buy him high. So I was not doing that. And now, honestly, after seeing the game, Edmonds looks better. I just, even if it's a 50-50 split, I would rather Edmonds because he's just so much cheaper. Alexander Mattison. Oh, and also if Drake goes down, then Edmonds just shoots up. Alexander Mattison is going to be probably one of the top waiver wire pickups this week because he's a running back and the running back landscape is ugly. So he will be over Chase Claypool and over Travis Fulgham and some of these other big breakout guys because of necessity. And he is if Cook is out this week, which it sounds like he's going to be, Madison's a top 10 play. You don't find those on the waiver wire. And especially if you can get him for 1 or 2 weeks, Madison looked really good the other night. So he's going to be a top pickup.
Yeah. And you're right. I did have both of them on my list, but yeah, Chase Edmonds, I know Cliff Kingsbury was saying before the season, and I've had him hyped up all year, that to have Chase Edmonds on your lineup because Kenyon Drake might struggle, and sure enough, he's been struggling all year. Chase Edmonds has been averaging 11.7 points a game, and he seems to be a part of the passing game a lot, which definitely helps in PPR leagues for sure. He's only rushed roughly 3 or 4 times each game. On average, but last week he had 5 receptions for 56 yards. And I mean, the last 2 weeks he scored 15 points and 20.2 points. So I'd definitely be picking him up. He's only 46.5% owned in leagues. And I mean, as for Alexander Mattison, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I've never liked Dalvin Cook for fantasy because of his injuries. And so, in my opinion, I never draft Dalvin Cook, but Alexander Mattison is definitely a guy to pick up. He's only 41.6% owned, and he just rushed for 112 yards and scoring 16.6 points last week. So I'd definitely be picking him up, especially with Dalvin Cook possibly out and maybe his injury prolonging his return. As for my last two guys, I'm going to say wide receiver Laviska Shenault. I've loved him all year, and the fact that he is only 32% owned just shocks me. Like, he is scoring double-digit points four out of the five games. His only time, he scored at least 14 points in the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 12.3 points a game. Like, how is he not in a lot of people's lineups? I mean, it just shocks me the fact that he's not so well owned. And I'm actually going to name two more people. I'm going to go to tight ends. Robert Tonyan, he just came off the bye. He's only 48.6% owned still. A lot of people think that, oh, it was his hype, his stock was rising, and now he's not going to do so well. But Aaron Rodgers likes the tight ends. He likes throwing to tight ends. So with him coming off a bye and him averaging 15.1 points a game, I'm buying him a lot. I definitely like him. He's going to be a great tight end. My last tight end is Austin Hooper. He's finally getting the target share that he's used to getting since last year, and scoring 14.4 and 10.7 in the last 2 weeks, and only being 45.3% owned because so many people dropped him because of his 3 weeks of struggles. I'm looking to pick him up.
Yeah, Tonyan was one of mine, and I would prioritize him. I mean, I love the receivers, but it is so much easier to find a receiver on the waiver wire every week. You probably have good ones on your bench that you're just rotating every week. It's so hard to find a tight end. And Robert Tonyan was going into this week was the number two tight end in PPR formats, the number one tight end overall in .5 and standard scoring. So Robert Tonyan is someone that has been good all year, then had a banger because he missed the first week. Then he had two 10-point games, and then he had the 30-plus point game. They don't have a second option. Lazard should be back soon, but he's still on the IR. Robert Tonyan, he's here to stay. So that's a big one. Guys that I would definitely add to the list were Justin Jackson. I wasn't super impressed last night, but I think there's a lot of pissed off people when they saw him take the first snaps and Joshua Kelly did not. He looked better than Joshua Kelly. Let's not forget how good the Saints defense is. They're probably the top three run defense in the league. So him not blowing up might save you, and you might be able to pick him up, because if he went for 200 yards last night, he wasn't going to be available for anybody. He had an okay night last night. What I liked was he got the targets, he got the carries, and he's on a good offense. I think he's going to do a lot better when he has better matchups, and unless he's playing Tampa this week, he's got a better matchup. So he's gonna have a good matchup this week, and Eckler's out for an extended amount of time, so he's going to be a pretty substantial fix if you can put him into your lineups. Probably a flex play, RB2 at best. Definitely wanted Herbert. Preston Williams, he was impressive this week. He's starting to look fresh. It takes a little while for an ACL injury. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I know you pick him up and you're scared as hell to put him in your lineup, but I put him in this week, and I put him in. I'm trying to tank in one league, and I'm the second highest scorer because I got Ryan Fitzpatrick going bananas. But Fitzpatrick is definitely someone's putting it up. He's playing loose. He's running the ball like crazy. He's got the goal line. There's just so much with him that I'm definitely sticking to it. I was looking for a stat because I found one. I saw one earlier before this came on. I was waiting for a load, and Jordan Howard right now. It was Dove. Let me see his name. Dove Kleiman is one of my favorite follows on Twitter. And he put out, let me find it real quick. Jordan Howard is making $9.75 million this season. He has 16 carries for 14 yards. Miles Gaskin was a seventh-round pick. Gaskin that received 53 touches for 243 yards. So, he updated. It's 18 carries. So, he's getting about $500,000 per carry. He's on pace for that.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. So, that was just interesting. And the last one I had was Fitzpatrick. That offense is just – they're having fun. They're going. They don't look like they're in any rush to put Tua in. Kids see situations like Mahomes where they put Tua in at the end, just to get him in. But they know they're not going anywhere this year. They're just letting Fitzpatrick go and sling it, letting Tua learn from him. And then I'll throw the Miami Dolphins defense out there this week. They get the Jets, and we always play a defense against the Jets. Yeah. It's the rule.
It is the rule. I mean, yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, it just seems like that offense and that team is just having fun. Like, it's not about, like, winning or losing right now for them because they're trying to upgrade their team. But, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's been hysterical. The fact that he's just been amazing so far this season. And, I mean, I thought Tua would be coming in soon, but the fact that Fitzpatrick's the number 7, I think, scoring quarterback right now and averaging 20.8 points a game, I mean, that's just crazy. I don't know. That's crazy. And he's just having fun down there in Miami. But for adding on to your Justin Jackson, the LA Chargers are on a bye week this week, but I still recommend grabbing Justin Jackson. He did score 14.4 points this week. And I mean, I think he's definitely going to keep going. But I'd definitely be looking for Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly if they're not in and they're still in free agency.
Yeah. And the bye week, you know, watch for people to drop these guys. You know, they could drop them or these guys could slide under the radar like Robert Tonyan did. Robert Tonyan should have been picked up in all leagues after a 3-touchdown performance, but he was not because he was on a bye week.
Exactly.
So we somehow both did not add these guys, and we have to mention Chase Claypool, and we have to mention Travis Fulgham. So Chase Claypool, Canadian, played for Notre Dame. People thought he was, you know, a big receiver, a small tight end. What does he play? He plays football, and he is good at it. He had 4 touchdowns. I know it was the Eagles, but 4 touchdowns. 3 touchdowns?
The fourth one was called back, I guess.
Gotcha. 3 touchdowns this week. He had a monster performance. He looks good every week that he's played this year. Deontay Johnson, it's not a serious injury, but he's out. Ben has always done well with those big outside receivers. Remember how he did with Martavis Bryant? Steelers always find a way to get those receivers. They always hit on receivers. So that's a big one. And then Travis Fulgham, what a cool story.
Yeah.
6th-round pick, bounced around the league a little bit. 10 days ago, he was called up from the practice squad, scored a touchdown on Sunday Night Football against the 49ers, and then had a great game. 10 catches, 150 yards, and a touchdown this weekend. So on both sides of the field, we had some breakouts this weekend, Pittsburgh versus Philly.
Yeah, I mean, I was crazy. I mean, I thought of starting Chase Claypool this week, and I decided to actually bench him this week, and I definitely paid a price in my defeat that in that league. But yeah, he had 7 receptions, 110 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, ball out for both of them. And as for Fulgham, I mean, the fact that he was a 6th-round pick and he scored 15 last week, 31 this week, I mean, he could be the next big Eagles wide receiver. And with the fact that their Eagles wide receivers are not so well, doing so well. DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffery are supposedly going to be coming back this week, but I think Fulgham is going to stay in the lineup somehow, and they're going to try to incorporate him.
No, I agree.
Going on to our breakout stuff this week. My breakout, I mean, definitely a bust this week, but my breakout is going to be Lamar Jackson. He only scored 14.5 this week, and I mean, he was suffering an injury, but John Harbaugh said that he's full to go this week. And, I mean, he hasn't lived up to his expectations that he has been all last season to this season. I mean, the only time he scored, I think, over 25 points was against the Cleveland Browns, and he scored 27 points, if I'm correct. And I mean, he just hasn't been putting up his 30s, 40 number, 40 game points. And it's just, I don't know, it's just not him, if I could say. I mean, I don't know. Lamar Jackson's definitely been a bust this year, but don't get me wrong, he is still a great player. He is still putting up quality points for you. He's just not what he was last year for scoring in fantasy.
No, I get it. I put up the rankings on TikTok, and it's so funny because only comments are negative. I got comments this week of, apparently Aaron Rodgers doesn't exist. Well, he's on bye. That's why he's not in my top 10, doofus. you know, I mean, but they said, well, Lamar Jackson hasn't been good this year. Why is he in your top three? Because he's Lamar freaking Jackson.
Exactly.
Find anyone with common sense that does not have Lamar Jackson in their top three or top five, top 10 quarterbacks, and they're just doing hot takes. I mean, Lamar Jackson, because of his ability to run and his big blow up games, you can definitely see a breakout coming. So that offense was going to regress. I think it's regressed a lot harder than everyone's expected it to. But they got a nice matchup this week. They should be all right.
Yeah, they should be. And I mean, like you said, I mean, Lamar Jackson can run. And if you think that you're going to like bench him this week for another quarterback, I mean, shame on you for that. I think if you bench him, you're going to pay the price.
Yeah. My breakout is Alexander Mattison. I think he's just going to have a monster week. I think Dalvin Cook does not play. I think Alexander Mattison is someone that Dynasty community is well aware of. The regular fantasy community is not, and they will definitely be all over Alexander Mattison, and he's going to be a top 10 play this week.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been great the past 2 years filling in for Dalvin Cook's injuries. So, I mean, I wonder if they're going to move on from Dalvin Cook because of all his injuries. I like Alexander Mattison over Dalvin Cook, in my opinion. Another breakout I have is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He only scored 11 points. That doesn't mean to bench him. I know he's a rookie and this and that, but he was the number one running back taken off the fantasy boards in a lot of leagues in the draft, in fantasy leagues. He should be considered the running back one still. I mean, he is facing the Bills, but listen, he's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's on the Chiefs offense, and Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and you know what he can do. Next thing you know, he could be having Clyde scoring 40 points for all you know.
Yeah, for sure. No, I like that call.
I do want to mention one last guy, and that's Rob Gronkowski. He only scored 8 points this week. OJ Howard's still out. Well, he is out for the season. And with that offense just having so many injuries, that it's just crazy. I mean, Mike Evans almost didn't play. Chris Godwin was out. Scotty Miller had 0 points. I mean, Cameron Brate and Rob Gronkowski are basically, I'd want to say, the safety blankets almost to Tom Brady. And Rob Gronkowski got the second highest target tally this week. And I think he's going to get more targets coming soon.
Okay.
But for bus candidates, it's Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is Carson Wentz. I've never been a big fan of him in fantasy. He scored 19.4 points last week, and he's facing Baltimore, who just allowed only 4 points for Joe Burrow. So I don't see Carson Wentz scoring a lot of points this week as a quarterback.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. That offensive line is extremely banged up. Even if some of the weapons come back, they might be limited. And Carson Wentz just does not look like himself. He looks scared out there. He doesn't have the confidence he's had in the past. He's overthrowing guys. And Zach Ertz is on pace for like 500 yards. Zach Ertz could be on the way out. He could be traded.
That's a career low.
Yeah, he's it's definitely looking downhill in Philly, and Baltimore coming into town is not a good that's not a good thing. So it's gonna be very interesting to see.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you're fine. You know, I'm interested to see what the Dallas Cowboy receivers look like this week with Andy Dalton. So I don't know which one really. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it looks. I called the bust for Amari Cooper last week, but that was because I knew Bradbury was going to be on him. It's going to be so different, that offense with Andy Dalton versus how it was with Dak Prescott. He's not as mobile of a guy. So, you know, the chemistry is going to be very, very interesting. Andy Dalton made some really nice throws to Michael Gallup, and all of a sudden Gallup is a guy. And, you know, you didn't see a lot of Amari Cooper. So I don't know if it's another Amari Cooper, you know, bust week. But I think that I'm just nervous about the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys receivers. If I could pick one, I will just pick Amari Cooper because he's going to be lined up with Patrick Peterson this week.
Ooh, that is a good matchup. Yeah, I mean, Andy Dalton doesn't have the agility of scrambling out of the pocket, extending the play. I mean, I definitely agree with you. I think I'm scared of all the Dallas offense besides Zeke, in my opinion. And then my last bust is Brandon Cooks. I mean, the man just did ball out this week, scoring 30.1 points, 8 receptions, 161 yards, and 1 touchdown. But the problem with him is he's been inconsistent. You don't get a guy who's been inconsistent. It's just, and you don't start a guy who's been inconsistent. You don't say, oh, yeah, he scored 30 points. He's going to ball out again this week. I mean, stream him, I give that, but his inconsistency is the key. He scored 4 points week 1, 14.5 week 2, 5.3 week 3, 0 week 4, and then this week he balled out. So it's showing that he can go from 0 to 30 points each week. And with that offense, just, I don't know, that offense is just not the same with DeAndre Hopkins not there anymore. And that offense is a lot of injury-prone players. And all it takes is Brandon Cooks getting a helmet to helmet, and he could be back in concussion protocol.
Yeah, it was nice to see, you know, him have a good game, but it's really hard to trust the Houston Texans. I was going back and forth yesterday. A guy said, why would you sell Will Fuller? He's been good. Well, that's why you sell him. You don't sell someone this bad because no one's going to buy it.
Exactly.
But, like, you should have sold Sammy Watkins while you could. You can't anymore. You should have sold Peyton Barber after week 1. You can't anymore. He's probably dropped. You know, you have to take advantage while you can. And unfortunately, it is a gamble when you're buying low on someone because they're underperforming, or you're buying someone, you know, or you're selling someone that's doing well. But it's like playing the stocks, and that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could get a guy who was drafted in the 7th round, and the next thing you know, he's balling out. I mean, definitely make a good point on the stocks. They trend up, trend down, just like sleeper, trending up and trending down, which is moving us to our sleeper trending up and trending down of the week.
It's called a professional segue.
Yeah. My trending up player, I'm going to say, is Mike Williams. I mean, I was shocked that he scored 27.9 points this week. And it looks like that Mike Williams is Justin Herbert's go-to guy on deep passes. Keenan Allen did leave the game with an injury, and whether that's going to keep him out for week 6 or not, I might start Mike Williams this week. I'm definitely adding him in leagues. I mean, he went five receptions, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a great jump ball with like 3 defenders around him towards the end of that game, before end of regulation. And the fact that he jumped for that ball and managed to come down with it was a miraculous catch. He's 75. Actually, he might have went up by now. Yeah, he's 81,212 ads right now. And about half hour ago, I saw he was at 75,000 ads. So in the last half hour, about 6,000 people added him.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on here. Number 1 on the list is Chase Claypool. Number 2 is Andy Dalton. Number 3 is Alexander Mattison. And then number 4 is Mike Williams, which ironically, the one I'm looking at is owned by F. Geronimo. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Justin Herbert, Los Angeles Chargers defense, Jason Sanders, the kicker for the Dolphins, the Dolphins defense, which I think is a good stream this week. Brandon Cooks, Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham, I don't know if you saw his catch the other day, but he made a one-handed catch on Thursday night.
That was great.
Anytime you start to believe in Jimmy Graham, you get nervous because you're like, well, I'm going to sound like an idiot when he does nothing next week. But the tight ends are so hard to find. That catch looked legit. Foles is targeting him. Jimmy Graham might be he might be someone you can put in your lineup if you need to stream a tight end.
Nick Foles likes his tight ends. Back in Philly, he targeted them a lot.
Yeah, and Justin Jackson, Chase Edmonds are both on this list. Mike Gesicki, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Guyton, Laviska Shenault, Ben Roethlisberger, and then. You know it's going to be a bad game when both defenses are trending. So the Washington football team and the New York Giants defenses are both trending because both of those offenses are not pristine.
I'd pick the Giants over the Washington football team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We'll see though. I'm not definitely not betting the house on my Giants for anything.
And yeah, true. And the Jason Sanders kicker for Miami, he is the number one kicker right now in fantasy. I mean, if he's available, I think you should pick him up. I mean, Seattle, he scored 18. San Francisco, he scored 22. And his matchups it seems like he's just going to keep going. And he's got, if I'm correct, he remains perfect. He converted 5 field goal attempts and 4 extra points this week. He's just bound for success. But yeah, I mean, and the Chargers defense is also up there.
They looked good last night, even without some key players. They look good against the Saints. So they should look good against some lesser people, even though they're on bye this week.
Yeah. It just confused me because it says that they're facing the Jets this week. This COVID thing is changing all of these teams.
Yeah. Guys that are trending down, obviously Dak Prescott. Russell.
That's more for redraft leagues, though. I think Dak Prescott's more redraft leagues. I don't drop him in Dynasty.
Yeah, most of this is redraft. Russell Gage, Mo Alley Cox, Olamide Zacchaeus, Dearness Johnson, I think, was disappointing this week for people that put some stock in that. Traquan Smith, Michael Thomas will be back next week, so Traquan Smith is pretty much droppable. The Cardinals defense, Scotty Miller, A.J. Green, Dalton Schultz, Derek McKinnon, Joshua Kelly is trending down, Malcolm Brown is trending down, Matt Ryan is trending down, Hunter Renfrow, Nyheim Hines is trending down, Logan Thomas, and the 49ers and the Saints defense.
Yeah, and I think my one shocking one that I see that's number 8 right now is A.J. Green. I mean, I've considered him a bust all season, and a lot of people are like, oh, he's going to be healthy this year. He's going to be scoring the points he did before. But, like, he's had problems with injuries. He's been out for a while. I never saw him scoring a lot of points that he did. I think his prime is over. He's now in his declining age. He injured his left hamstring this week, and he scored a fat goose egg this week. His best game was week 1, and he only scored 10.10 points.
Yeah. I mean, I'm someone that believed in him at the beginning of the year. I don't know if I believe in him now. He didn't look like he was trying the other day, so I don't know if he was hurt or if he just is not into it anymore. And he's not tradable because of the contract they gave him. So I don't know if they could release him at some point and get some money, but that's where we're at.
It looked like he wanted to be either traded or cut, it seemed like.
Because no one's going to trade for he's got automatic $17 million. You're not paying for a player that's playing this bad, paying that much money, and plus half people can afford it.
Exactly. And I mean, they have T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and them two are going great right now. On that offense. I mean, I know earlier this season I did trade AJ Green for a third. Do you still agree with me on that?
Well, I disagreed then. It looks good now. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. I definitely thought, I mean, and there was a lot of people. I mean, people were drafting AJ Green 6th, 7th round in redrafts. And obviously it didn't pan out. But you got to go with the upside. And even a, you know, player that had missed last year, if AJ Green hit, 6th or 7th round would have been nothing. So there's a lot of 6th and 7th rounders that did nothing anyways, even the non-AJ Greens. So, yeah, a 3rd-round pick is definitely good. I mean, you probably can't get a 3rd-round pick for him right now. It's probably, you know, nothing or a 4th. So exactly. at this point, it's not looking good for AJ Green stock.
And as you mentioned, for 6th-round picks, I mean, if you look at first-round picks have been a lot of bust players. A lot of injuries, Davante Adams, Michael Thomas, Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. I don't know. I'm sure I'm missing a few more people. But again, like all those players you draft in the first round, you expect them to carry your team, help you out a lot, maybe help you with a player that didn't score as much, with them scoring a lot. But now with them just all injured and having struggles, I mean, it's crazy. This fantasy year has definitely been different.
Yeah, and that's going to go right into my bold prediction. So my bold prediction is there is 12 players that were drafted round 10 or higher, or I guess round 10 or lower, or undrafted, that will finish top 12 in their position this week. Players like James Robinson, players like Mike Davis, players like Alexander Mattison, Chase Edmonds, Robert Tonyan. Those kinds of players. Justin Herbert obviously can't do it this week for me, but maybe Joe Burrow or someone like that does. But I'm going to go 12 players that were drafted outside of the top 10.
That's definitely bold. For me, I'm going to stick to a Jets wide receiver, the only Jets wide receiver that I think you can trust, Jameson Crowder. He's facing the LA Chargers. I think he's going to get my bold prediction is he's going to get 10 receptions, 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I think that's about 15, 10, 25, plus 12, 37 points. 37 fantasy points this week is my prediction for Jameson Crowder, my bold prediction.
Wow. That's bold. So I'm going to just double down on Alexander Mattison and say that not only is he a top 10 play this week, that he's a top 5 play this week.
I think you're tripling down on him. You've been talking about him a lot this week.
Yeah. Yeah. If Cook is out, if Cook's not out, it's going to be really hard for him to be a top 5 play, but yeah. Give me Alexander Mattison, top 5 play this week.
That one I can definitely agree with you on. That one's a great bold prediction, but I think I agree with you. I think Alexander Mattison's going to go off. My last one is Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, he's been doing great this season, but he's facing a banged-up Dallas defense that just isn't great. So I think he's going to throw for at least 450 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
That's a whole lot,
but I think it can be done. It's Kyler Murray, first round pick, first overall pick. It can happen.
All right. That's all that I got. I mean, I guess my last bold prediction would be the Giants actually win this week. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a bold prediction. I mean, 0-5, they can't be going 0-6. Imagine.
We've done it before.
0-16?
I've seen the Owen, O-W-E-N, 6 jerseys before. I think it was 2018. I lived in Charlotte, and I was there when we lost to the Panthers.
Yikes. Well, as you all know, my name is Fernando. I am the host of Sports Time HQ. I was joined again today by Dave, Dynasty Dorks. You can definitely follow him on Twitter. And also TikTok. He's definitely been rising in TikTok. Definitely go give him a follow, check him out. He puts on great content every week, every day. And he's a must follow candidate for Twitter.
I appreciate that.
No problem. I hope you guys all enjoyed listening and have a good rest of the day. And we'll see who wins tonight against the Bills and Titans.